Hello once again, and welcome to SearchSecurity.com's Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, May 10th, 2006. I'm Eric Parizeau. This week we'll talk with Mike Rothman of Security Insight about the recent denial of service saga involving Blue Security and Six Apart, plus how to avoid a digital doomsday, and will Oracle ever learn its lesson? But first, this week's top story. Tuesday, May 9th marked this month's Patch Tuesday, and with it, Microsoft has released three new security bulletins. The most noticeable fix is a critical update involving Microsoft Exchange. The software giant says bulletin number MS06-019 not only addresses a vulnerability with the Exchange calendar, but also provides more granularity for assigning mailbox permissions. The other critical update this month addresses flaws in Macromedia Flash Player. Even though Flash Player is made by Adobe, Microsoft is releasing a bulletin because it redistributes the software. The third and final bulletin of the month addresses a denial of service vulnerability in the Microsoft Distributed Transaction Coordinator. However, the bulletin is rated moderate, not critical, because the scope of the flaw is limited. This month's updates did not include a patch for Internet Explorer. Even though Microsoft addressed several security issues in its browser last month, some expected a new bulletin addressing three more recently discovered, i.e. security flaws. Next, experts say Oracle still has a lot to learn when it comes to security. In a story this week on our site, critics say the database behemoth sits on known flaws for too long and leaves its applications open to attack. One Oracle security expert estimates that there are more than 100 unpatched Oracle security issues yet to be resolved. Some say Oracle is working harder to improve the security of its newer products, but the vendor is still taking heat because its older and more widely used programs are the ones getting little attention but facing the greatest risk. Also in the news, one group suggests a new threat may soon replace data theft as any company's greatest fear. The U.S. Cyber Consequences Unit, an independent research group working with the government, says in the near future attackers may penetrate a company's defenses and then alter critical data. According to the group, the data could be changed over a period of weeks or months, altering mission-critical information like patient medical records or specifications for parts and machinery. One expert said the damage could be horrendous because it would mean an organization could no longer count on the accuracy of its business processes. The U.S. Cyber Consequences Unit released these findings along with a new checklist meant to help enterprises handle a variety of cyber attacks. And now in our security spotlight this week, a denial of service attack gone wrong. According to published reports, anti-spam vendor Blue Security has been attempting to stem the tide of unwanted mail messages by bombarding spam servers with opt-out messages. However, the underground spammer community retaliated against Blue Security by launching a massive distributed denial of service attack against the vendor. But that's only where the controversy begins. Blue Security then allegedly redirected its DNS to its TypePad blog, bringing down TypePad, LiveJournal, and a number of Six Apart domains in the process. So what really happened, and what's the lesson for others trying to fight spam and not become victims themselves? We asked Blue Security CEO Ryan Reshef to appear this morning, but he declined. Yet we are just as fortunate this morning. Here to join us offering his analysis of the situation is Mike Rothman, President and Principal Analyst with Security Insight in Atlanta, Georgia. Mike, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Doing all right, thanks. Mike, Blue Security issued a statement late last week saying that a rogue cracker known as PharmaMaster was the one responsible for the attack, and that PharmaMaster is actually the one that redirected the DOS attack toward TypePad. However, many in the security community, yourself included, have rejected that claim, believing that Blue Security simply is trying to dodge the blame when it is the one that redirected the attack. What's your take on all this?
Well, I mean, you know, you have to address this issue at a number of different levels. But relative to, you know, kind of the DNS obfuscation and, you know, them trying to skirt responsibility there, you know, to me, it's very binary, right? You know, if somebody breaks into your DNS and points it somewhere else, you know, that's a problem that you have as a security administrator. You've got to protect your DNS records. You've got to make sure that whatever provider you have, whether it's your ISP or a third-party DNS service provider, you know, make sure that they protect the integrity of your DNS records, because obviously, as we saw with this specific example, the ramifications are pretty significant. And, you know, why would they randomly pick TypePad? Why wouldn't they do, you know, it just all doesn't add up to me. So, again, I think that the situation, again, this is one man's opinion, but, you know, I think it was a matter that, you know, these guys panicked. They said, my main server's down, my community's down, I'm going to redirect my main site to, you know, my TypePad blog and at least try to be able to communicate with my community, you know, without understanding that, you know, every attack or every, you know, packet that was sent to their main site was going to get redirected to six apart and obviously, you know, kind of took down their infrastructure as well.
Now, getting more specific, security pros claim that it's just not realistic that Blue Security didn't see traffic coming from outside of Israel, which it claims, or that the main corporate site wasn't the target. Can you tell me more, you know, from a granular perspective on why that may or may not be the case?
Yeah, and again, that's another claim that I don't necessarily believe, right? Because, you know, I run a pretty small website at securityinsight.com, and, you know, I'm watching my logs all the time. I know where my traffic's coming from, and if all of a sudden you see lots of traffic from around the world, and then all of a sudden you see nothing from outside of Israel, don't you get a little suspicious? Hey, maybe there's something going on. So you call your ISP, and you say, what's going on? And maybe they took some preventative mechanisms because they were getting pounded from all over the place, so they, you know, put black holes in place to make sure that any traffic that was directed towards a certain site that came from outside of a specific, you know, set of domains or IP addresses would be dropped instantly. Well, that could explain why they didn't see any traffic from outside of Israel. But, you know, again, relative to the fact that they say they've got 450,000 subscribers, they say they work on a global basis, for no traffic to happen for a certain amount of time, you know, again, that would kind of create, you know, real red flags in what I was doing at any given time and, you know, make me want to investigate what's happening with the traffic on my website.
Mike, obviously the digital underground took offense to the way Blue Security had been going after the spammers. What are they doing that's different than what's been done before?
Well, you know, their approach is generally to fight fire with fire, right? So, you know, the spammers blast out, you know, millions, hundreds of millions, billions of messages a day, and Blue Security's approach is to, if you add to their list and, you know, kind of report a message as spam, they'll take the link, find an email address from within the website that link represents, and send them an opt-out message saying, hey, we don't want your message, take us off your list. Ultimately, when you've got 400,000 of these things coming at a vendor or, you know, a spammer, you know, this becomes in effect a distributed denial of service attack in and among itself, you know, basically lodged from Blue Security towards the spammer. So, you know, again, I spent a lot of time in the anti-spam business, and one of the best practices that we always talked to our customers about, you know, was never unsubscribe from a message that you get. You know, that's exactly what they want you to do, because that legitimizes your email address, and then they add it to hundreds or thousands of other lists, and you just get pounded. So, you know, again, through the fallout of all of this Blue Security fiasco, you know, what's been determined is that people that are on Blue Security's list, you know, once they started sending these messages out, have actually gotten an increase in the number of spam messages. So, you know, is the underground upset about it? You bet. Are they trying to, you know, take Blue Security out of play? Absolutely. But the reality is, if you're a customer and you're looking at this solution from Blue Security to kind of impact or stop, you know, the flow of spam that's coming to you, it ain't working. So you got to really understand or decide, you know, does this make sense for me to continue doing?
Finally, Mike, this isn't the first time spammers have retaliated against an anti-spam firm, but this is certainly the most brazen incident in recent memory. Does that mean that vendors and enterprises alike have to be more careful about how they fight spam in order to avoid becoming victims of attacks themselves?
Yeah, I think that is a legitimate question and a legitimate point, Eric. You know, the reality is the last thing you want to do as a security person is paint a target on your head, right? So that's why it's difficult. That's why most security people don't talk in great specifics about what they're doing, because they don't want to give the bad guys a map for how to defeat them. So by getting very visible and saying, hey, we're doing this, or hey, we're doing that, again, that just makes you a target for some of the bad guys. So, again, the approach is take care of your business. Obviously, you know, make sure that you've got multiple layers of spam defense in place. You know, obviously, you know, blocking a lot of these messages that you know are bad at the gateway, you know, maybe doing some stuff on the server, maybe not. You know, that's all a measure of, you know, the threshold for complexity and how many different layers you want to put in if you're a customer. But the reality is, you know, spam happens. 80% of the mail out there is bad. You know, you're not going to make it stop. So make sure that you can, you know, block a great percentage of it before it ever gets to your end user's inboxes, and focus on something else. Because, you know, going out there and trying to stop the root cause of the problem, again, I think all that does is make you a target. You know, and I just don't think that there's a package to answer to solve the problem right now. So, you know, again, a lot of people will be spending a lot of time with, you know, limited upside and limited capability to be successful.
Mike Rothman, President and Principal Analyst of Security Insight in Atlanta. Mike, thanks for joining us on Security Wire Weekly.
You're welcome, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
Finally this week, the worm that just won't die. The man behind the prolific Netsky P worm, 18-year-old German Sven Jaskin, is responsible for infecting tens of millions of computers, that is, before his May 2004 arrest. However, while he's been out of the malware writing business since then, UK-based AV firm Sophos says his handiwork continues to appear in its monthly virus reports. In fact, his Netsky P worm accounted for nearly 20% of all viruses reported at email gateways last month. Topping it all off, Jaskin ultimately walked out of a German court a free man, being punished with just 30 hours of community service. And that is Security Wire Weekly from SearchSecurity.com. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at SearchSecurity.com/news. And don't forget, you can find more of our podcasts online at SearchSecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.